All right. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Jim Beer 138 podcast. Now, I had a couple of topics that I wanted to get to this week, but I should inform you guys, because I just found this out today. This is Thursday. The 4th. If the liquor stores near where y'all are at are anything like the ones near my place, look out for this trick. Because I just realized that this was happening today. So, over the past couple of months, you know, I've been drinking a lot more. I'm trying to cut back. Not tonight, obviously, because it's got the podcast. You know, got to be entertaining, got to be loose. I'm not as entertaining when I'm sober. Or at least, I like to think I'm more entertaining than when I'm drunk. So, we're going to go with that until somebody decides to correct me. Anyway. So I was at the liquor store today, right? And I was looking to pick up some cheap shit, nothing expensive, just like maybe a $10 liter or so. Maybe get one of those big like the 1.75 jugs. That way I could make it last, you know, a little bit longer. Take a sip or so every night before bed. Try and cut back without cutting off, you know what I mean? Get a little healthier. Drink an Old Crow. Not the best plan. I'm aware. You don't have to tell me. But I was looking at the prices on these liquor bottles, right? And the 1 liter of Old Crow is like under $10, including tax. Well, maybe not including tax. It might be a little bit over. I don't have the receipt on me right now. But 1 liter of Old Crow is like nine something. But a 1.75 liters is like $20. So this whole fucking time, I could have been saving, I don't know, like $4 a bottle if I'd just been buying 2 liters instead of buying the 1.75 liter. Because, yeah, the 1.75 is more convenient. It's all right there. You got the big jug. You can just swig on it like you're a fucking mountain man back in the 30s. But it's a much better deal if you're getting bottom shelf whiskey. For all you burgeoning alcoholics out there, don't do drugs, kids. To just get 2 liters. Instead of the 1.75. You're getting ripped off, fam, is what I'm trying to tell you. Don't get ripped off anymore. Be smart with your alcohol purchases. Anyway, so we might as well get into some of the big news from this week. And this just got me fucking angry, guys. Like, I saw this shit go down on Twitter. Like the night it fucking happened. And all of these people were... It's the fire Colbert thing. And all these people were calling for, you know, Colbert to be fired. And it's all conservatives. I haven't seen a single fucking liberal call for Colbert to be fired, which says many things, and we might as well get into what a couple of those are. First off, you know, I think this is just unproductive, personally. Colbert's not going to be fired over this unless the left gets up in arms about the homophobia thing, which the joke wasn't homophobia, so technically you're lying. It wasn't a homophobic joke. Like, that's a trick that leftists use to, it's the old litany. You guys all know it. Racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, blah, 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 blah. You know, they got like 18 of these fucking things, and I don't bother keeping up with them all anymore. But the joke, not like 9 times out of 10, probably like 9.5, 9.8 times out of 10, is not homophobic. It's just a joke that involves gayness. Which could go a lot of different ways depending on how you define gayness. But the joke that Colbert made, while it was, yes, in very bad taste, it was kind of, I don't think it was disgusting because I'm not one of those people who gets all, like, my butthole doesn't clench over rude humor or crude humor, blue humor, that kind of thing, as long as it's funny. And it actually was kind of funny. Kind of. Like, it made me go, like, I didn't actually laugh, just, that was about it. But, it wasn't homophobic. Basically, he was just playing off the whole, Trump-Russia thing that all of these idiots are so fucking caught up on. He's playing to a base. Like, he doesn't even write these fucking jokes. That doesn't, like, excuse him for not having standards and still telling the joke anyway, but basically, he was just saying that Donald Trump likes Vladimir Putin so much that he gives him head. That's it. It wasn't, like, making fun of gay people for being gay. Like, everybody knows that Trump is straight. That's the joke. Like, and jokes that you have to explain aren't really funny. Well, they can be, once you get it, but, you know, explaining it kind of kills the humor for everybody who already knows what the joke is about. For that one guy who doesn't know what the joke is about, it instantly becomes fucking hysterical. Most of the time. But I'm really, like, it really pisses me off when I see a story about some guy, and it's, like, 9 times out of 10 it's a guy, saying some dumb shit. Hang on, let me turn the fucking ringer on my phone off. There we go. But yeah, a guy will say some dumb shit. Usually it's a joke. Sometimes it's a chick, like that chick that was like, you know, going to Africa, hope I don't get AIDS. You know, and then when she landed, you know, her life was destroyed. She had already lost her job and shit like that. And I don't think anybody should be fired for a joke. I don't think anybody should be fired for crude humor or anything like that. And naturally, that extends to my ideological opponents. I'm one of those guys that likes to apply my principles evenly. You know, I like to spread the butter evenly over the toast. You know what I mean? That way, every bite is very enjoyable. I'm getting hungry. Anyway, this whole thing just smacks of hypocrisy to me. Because if Colbert had been right-leaning, like if Steven Crowder had been working for Fox, which he has in the past, but like currently, or like back when Obama was president, if Steven Crowder had been working for Fox and he had made a joke like that and Fox had fired him for it, conservatives would be up in arms about how it's just a fucking joke and people need to get over it and stop being so tight-assed and everything like that. So it's kind of one of those, like, the shoe is on the other foot scenarios. So that's kind of my take on it, is I don't really like to see people, that's just my opinion right there. I don't like to see people lose their job for doing dumb shit. Everybody does dumb shit. Everybody should get a pass at least once, in my opinion. At least once. You know, if you keep fucking up and there develops a pattern there, then you might have to go talk to HR. But at least that one time it should be like, okay, like, don't do this again or we're going to fucking fire you. You know, but even then, it's kind of his right. If the company that he works for wants to host that speech, it's fully within his right to say it wasn't fucking illegal or any shit like that. If calling the president mean names or saying mean things about the president was illegal, Rush Limbaugh, Mark Levin, Ben Shapiro, Steven Crowder, who the fuck else? Probably Andrew Klavan. Gavin McInnes, all of these dudes would be in jail right now for all of the shit that they've said about Obama. Every single person who's ever said that Obama was a secret Muslim or some shit like that would have to be detained, at least detained. So it just seems really hypocritical, for everybody to be going out here and calling for Colbert to be fired just because he said some dumb shit. On the other hand, because there is another side to this, this is kind of one of those culture war scenarios. And Brian Niemeyer actually brought up a very good point to me on Twitter, and I'm not going to be able to find it now because the shit that happened today was just too deep. It wasn't important shit. It was just like a 4-hour marathon shit posting session about Star Wars and waifus and shit like that. So, like, this is the fourth. So, of course, the Pulp Revolution guys have to get together and talk about how shit Star Wars is. And that was fun. But anyway, I'm not going to be able to find the tweet. But basically, Brian's point was, and forgive me, Brian, if I'm misremembering here. His point was that this is warfare, and if you are not willing to meet your enemy's tactics at whatever level of viciousness they may be, with that level of viciousness in return, then you are going to lose. So it's essentially like if I get into a fist fight with a guy and he pulls out a knife and stabs me and I pull out a knife and stab him back, that guy really has no fucking right to complain about me bringing a knife to a fight that I thought was going to be fists. He brought one too. And if he gets a gun and I go get a gun, you know, if there's this escalation, then it's the moral weight of the escalation and whatever happens from that point on is on the person who escalated in the first place. So if Prague's progressives weren't doing this, if they weren't trying to get people fired for saying dumb shit, if they weren't trying to actively bring down Fox News, which if you've been listening to Mark Levin's show lately, over the past week, I don't know, since about like Monday or something, just go back and listen to those. I mean, they're like 2 hours long, but it's worth listening to. Mark's a smart guy. But, they're essentially trying to bring down Fox News. Like, they got O'Reilly fired. One of the CEOs who's been there, for like 30 years has recently, quote unquote, stepped down. And apparently the guy who owns the corporation, his sons are now in charge. And they're kind of running it into the fucking ground. They're trying to make it more like MSNBC. So this is kind of a war. You know, and progressives are kind of setting the terms here because they're always willing to escalate because they, moral righteousness and moral certitude have justified more atrocities than any other thing in human history. If you think you are morally right, if you are certain that you are morally right in combating your enemies, then that gives you the leeway, I guess, or the ability to dehumanize your enemies to the point where nothing that you do to them is considered immoral. Like with Antifa. Antifa is 100% convinced that they are fighting a righteous moral war against fascism and that everybody who disagrees with them and all Trump supporters are fascists. So they have no problems putting quarter sticks of dynamite in wine bottles and throwing them into a group of, assembled protesters or just a group of peaceful people assembling. You know, they have no problem, smashing somebody in the head with a bike lock who was just trying to prevent someone from stealing someone else's phone. Like that guy in the red shirt, the Sriracha shirt, at the Battle of Berkeley, who got hit in the head with the bike lock, that's what he was doing. I watched that tape like 2 or 3 times. That's what he was doing. He was trying to stop the Antifa chicks from stealing a couple of the Trump people's phones. Like, I don't even know if he was there to support Trump. He might have just been there for the IRL shitposting of it all. But he got hit in the head with a bike lock, and I've seen people online in 100% seriousness defend that because he's a quote-unquote a fascist. And it's just this mental sickness. So when you have this moral certitude and you don't have any principles of nonviolence or anything like that to hold you back, whatever you're willing to do becomes justified morally. You can find some way you can run your little hamster in your head till it's fucking dead tired and come up with some moral justification for smashing an innocent person in the head with a bike lock, almost killing them. Like, that guy honestly could have died from that, or at least had, like, permanent brain damage or something. You know, something fucking serious. But, so, in the culture war, where things are less violent, you know, in the cultural sphere, I guess, of the culture war, because thanks to Antifa, there's a physical sphere, and we've got people like Base Stickman running around, you know, fighting back against these, anti-fascists who have decided that it's okay to, you know, mace women in the face who aren't even there to support Trump or smash innocent people in the head with U-locks. So now there is a physical component to this, but in the past, there hasn't been. It's all been cultural. And when the lefties are willing to get up there and they're willing to use these dirty underhanded tactics, like claiming racism and homophobia and whatever else, about people on the right, which they know is not true. They know this isn't true. They are lying to get a scalp. That's what they're doing. By hook or by crook, they will get their scalp, and they will consider it morally justified that they ruined this person's life. Just like with those bakers in, I don't even fucking remember where it was, Arkansas or Texas or wherever it was, the bake the fucking cake people, where they got took to court and lost their livelihood because they didn't want to cater a gay wedding. Like, the gay people were more than what? The gay people shopped there. The gay people have bought cakes there before. That's why they came to them and were like, hey, we want you to cater our wedding. We're finally getting married and we want you guys to cater our wedding. And they were like, well, we're Christian. We can't really, you know, that's against our religion or our interpretation of our religion. So we can't really do that. You know, y'all can buy a cake and use it there, but we can't cater, your wedding. And then all hell fucking broke loose and those people lost their fucking business. And that was considered morally justified for those people to lose their business and their livelihood because they didn't want to bake the fucking cake. So, you know, it's essentially state, as gun to the head of these people, bake the fucking cake, or else. It was a message to all, you know, conservatives or people who, disagree religiously with, homosexuality, that you will either conform to this or we will use the state to shut you down. So, hang on, I need to get off. I need to get off TweetDeck because it keeps updating on the screen and it's distracting. So now to get back around to the fucking point already. Basically, Brian was comparing it to, the use of gas in World War, was it one or two? I can't remember if it was one or two. It was one of the World Wars, but, Germany started using gas, and then we started using gas back, and then everybody was kind of like, okay, whoa, let's just put this away and just shoot each other, okay? Because this is not helpful. This isn't good for either of us, so let's just shoot each other. Not really sure how that morality or thought process works out there, but whatever. But it's akin to that. So if the lefties are going after people with this fake bullshit, if they set up a system wherein all you have to do to get somebody fired is wait for them to say some dumb shit and then claim that it is one of these ists or isms and then get them fired for it. And that scene is perfectly justified nowadays. I've seen people justifying it on the left. Then it is perfectly justified for the right to punch back in that exact same fashion until they realize that this is a bad thing. Because the right, people on the right already know that this is a bad thing. Which is why I have a problem with the hypocrisy of them using this tactic. But I understand the effectiveness and I understand the need for it. Doesn't mean I have to be happy about it. Doesn't mean I have to engage in it. But I understand. So I can kind of see where the righties are coming from with this. It just fucking burns me up that we're trying to get people fired over words here. Like when we've made relentless fun of SJWs and leftists for getting booty tickled over words. The second, you know, Colbert calls Trump a cock gobbler, everybody loses their shit and suddenly the left was right and words are offensive and shit like that. Cause you know. You know for a fact, not all of these people are smart as Brian. Not all of them see this as a technique to use in the culture war against the left. Not all of them are playing, like, that long game where they're willing to use this tactic against the left until the left, we're willing to hit them in the face with their own fist until they realize that, hey, getting hit hurts. Not all of these people see it like that. Some of these people actually do think that it was homophobic and, you know, horrible and how dare he attack our God Emperor and shit like that, you know. So it kind of bugs me. I understand where the people who are actually using this as a kind of chess maneuver are coming from. But I'm just not going to be part of this one, guys. I don't really care about Stephen Colbert. I just don't like it would be great to see Stephen Colbert get some kind of comeuppance, all right? Like, I used to enjoy his show, and like, he's had some genuinely funny moments on that show. I used to watch it, not as, like, a source of news or anything, but just as what it was, entertainment. Admittedly, I was more on the left back then, but I do remember it being entertaining, and I remember him being a funny guy, you know? Nowadays, now that he's doing, like, not satire, but just straight, like, that wasn't even humor. Like, it wasn't humor, it wasn't funny, it was just this angry rant against a president that he doesn't like. Like, in that moment, Stephen Colbert became Alex Jones. I just had this epiphany, but in that moment, Stephen Colbert turned into Alex Jones. For the left. You know, he's got the Trump-Russia conspiracy, he's got the yelling and screaming, he's got the insults, all of it's there. And he's not even doing it on, you know, a real comedy basis. Now, I know he's like a late-night talk show or whatever, and they're supposed to do these little comedy bits before the show gets going, but it just wasn't funny. It was just an insult-laden rant about someone that he doesn't like. And I don't know why people think that's funny. I don't know. Maybe I would have thought it was funny if it was against Hillary Clinton. Maybe it's just a difference in political perspective here. Maybe I would have thought that exact same rant would have been funny if it had been against Hillary Clinton. I don't know. You know, maybe like throw a Saudi prince in there instead of Putin. You know, maybe I would have thought that was funny. I don't know. It's weird how all of this shit maps out. It's very complicated, which is why I'm trying to stop talking about fucking politics, except on the most, like, surface level, at least on Twitter, because Twitter is a really, really fucking bad place to have an argument, or even a discussion. Like, with the with the shit that went down today, I had retweeted something that Harmful Opinion said. He was like, it was like, Harmful Opinion, all of the Star Wars movies are bad, or something like that. None of the Star Wars movies are good. And I just quote tweeted it and was like, the hottest take on Star Wars in centuries. And from that point, me and PC Bushi and Jesse Lucas and John Mollison and Ogma and, I don't know, probably like five other people just took that thread in like 15,000 different ways. And there were all kinds of branch offs on this tree and dead ends and circle backs. And eventually we got back into the woods of Monster Girls and shit like that. It's just a really bad format for a discussion. I should just get all of us like in a bar one day and like get everybody some really good liquor and then wait and like time it from when we first start drinking and then see how long it takes the fucking cops to show up. Because I have no doubt that they will be called. Hello, police? Yeah, there's some crazy assholes lighting shit on fire and screaming about waifus and pink sci-fi in the bar. We need you down here now before they commit arson or something. Jesse and Bushi are sneaking out the back. Me and Ogma are probably fighting the cops. John and Jeffro are probably just sitting over there quietly watching all this go down, acting like they ain't done shit when they know damn well that they have. It would be a fun time. But yeah, like I say, Twitter is just a bad place to have a conversation of any kind. A political argument, a discussion about your favorite fiction, because you're limited to 140 fucking characters. Not words, characters. And I know that you all probably know this, but that's not a lot. Like, you could say a lot in 140 characters, but if you're trying to make a larger point, you're going to have to space it out over like two or three tweets, and then somebody's going to respond to your first one or your second one. And then you're going to have to go back and like, that's another branch that you're going to be able to follow. Another little rabbit hole you can fucking go down until it wears itself out. And then you circle back around to the main point. And then you get distracted again because somebody else did another three tweet thing. So I think I'm just going to stick to shit posting and talking about fiction. I can't justifiably call the other stuff that I do on there political satire because I'm not that funny. If I was that funny, I would be getting more retweets, which I'm not exactly upset about. It keeps the people, you know, like I don't block people. I rarely ever mute people. I'll mute a conversation if I'm just not interested in the path that it's taken and it just won't shut up. I'm just sick of seeing notifications from that conversation, but I don't mute people. I don't block people. I block robots, blocked a lot of robots. You know, one of those accounts that comes into your notifications and it's like, hey, you could win an iPhone S7X Galaxy fucking, I don't even know. You know, you could win this, a new iPod or whatever. You know, yeah, I'll block that guy. Fuck that guy. That's a scam. But so far as like regular people, even people that I disagree with, I regularly give people shit for blogging. Like I call Cory Doctorow a cowardly faggot on a regular basis. Because he uses block bots, and as such, has blocked me, because I'm on, like, three block bots. Like, how I'm blocked, and Anthony, for no good reason, isn't blocked, is a fucking mystery to me. I'm just joking around, Anthony, you know I love you. But it would be pretty hypocritical of me to go around blocking people just because I disagree with them, when I make it a point of picking on people for blocking people they disagree with. But yeah, this week has been fucking crazy, man. Like I said, I think I said this last week, but my brother finally got his house, and we've been moving in over there, and it's just been hell. Like, we had to clean the whole fucking place, top to bottom. We had to paint a bunch of rooms. That was fun. I learned that spackle on concrete walls doesn't really work. Like, it works if you get dark paint, but with the Valspar stuff that we have, like, if you're looking at it from the right angle and the light is shining onto it, the spackle deadens the shine of the paint. So it doesn't shine, like it'll be bright and shiny, and then there'll just be this bar of just darkness where the spackle is. Now, I don't know if there's a way that you're supposed to spackle concrete without going out and getting a bag of fucking quickcrete and a 5-gallon bucket and mixing you up some fucking concrete and getting your fucking masonry on. Because my only experience has been with, like, sheetrock. That's it. That's what I know. I've never been in a house with concrete walls before. It's always been, like, concrete pad, which you get concrete guys to come in and do that, because I don't know how to run a fucking concrete truck, or where to get one. But, you know, with sheetrock, you just spackle the walls. And then you're good. No worries. It's the exact same fucking thing. You know, no problems. Concrete, not so much. So look that up. If you get a house with concrete walls, look up how to properly patch concrete, because we didn't do it right. But it still came out looking pretty good, because the paint's dark enough to where if you're not looking at the wall in the right light, it just looks like normal uniform paint. Like, you can't even tell that the spackle's there. And we're actually getting a good, decent internet out there. What good, decent? I don't know. It, according to my brother, who's the one who talked to the AT&T guys, there, he's got, like, the best. He's getting the best internet. Just trust me. It's unbelievable. Huge data. Huge amounts of data. So I'll actually be able to ramp up the YouTube channel properly, because not only do we have a shitload of data to use every month, we have, this stupidly fucking high bandwidth. I think you said that the only bandwidth higher is, like, the one NASA has. Which I don't think they can offer to us legally, but that's getting installed on, like, next Monday. So I'll be able to, like, upload shit to YouTube again properly, like the podcast, because that's the problem with uploading the podcast, is that it just takes for fucking ever, even on, like, VidMe and YouTube, because, like, I can't convert the files that my video editing software spits out into, like, MP4s via VLC media player. Because it just crashes whenever it gets done, and it corrupts the fucking file, and it just won't play. So, I'm just gonna have to upload them as is, like I used to do, and it would take, like, literally a full fucking afternoon to upload an hour of audio to YouTube. So hopefully that'll be, I'm gonna probably test that out as soon as we get hooked up, and start uploading shit to YouTube again, because I've got a bunch of videos that I want to go up, but I need to get up the rest of the episodes of the podcast. I think we're up to, like, I don't fucking know, like 42 or something like that? Let me go check. On the YouTube channel, at least. 49? Maybe? I don't know. 39. We're up to 39. So I've got, like, I don't know, like 11, 12 episodes of the with this one, it's probably like 12 episodes of the podcast to get back up on YouTube. And then I've got a bunch of other incidental videos that's, like, you know, reviews and shit like that. And I'm going to have to go through and get all the affiliate links and shit again and stuff like that. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Fortunately, the affiliate links really aren't all that difficult to get. The only weird one is Right Stuff, but I think I explained that one. So yeah, hopefully we'll be hooked up over there pretty soon. And that's going to be really nice. Really relaxing. To just get the fuck out of where I'm at right now. Then I'll actually be able to get back to fucking work. Like, this moving thing has been killing my productivity. Because, like I say, painting takes... I don't know if you've ever done it. But painting, when you don't hire somebody to do it, takes a long fucking time, fam. A long fucking time. There's a reason people hire out painting crews. But that was like a good 2-3 days right there with just painting. Then of course you gotta go through and clean up the house. We're still not done with that. I gotta go through and wash all the windows. Which, thank God, it's a one story. You know, it's just one fucking level. It's got an attic. And then it's got, like, an under the house. It doesn't even really have a crawl space. It's just, like, under the house. You just can't get in there. I think even the housing inspector didn't go down there just because, no, fuck that. And I don't blame him. This house is old. On the bright side, though, it does have a smokehouse out back. And the smokehouse is from, like, the 30s, so we're going to have to tear it down and rebuild it. But we have a smokehouse. And that's going to be a lot of fucking fun because my brother's girlfriend, her whole family is, like, fucking rednecks. These people just love to hunt. They love killing and eating wild animals. So if we get a smokehouse, then they could go out and, like, hunt a wild pig or a deer or something like that, and we could just clean it, dress it, hang it up in the fucking smokehouse, be gnawing on that shit within, like, 2 weeks. Depending on how long it takes to smoke. I haven't actually looked up how to smoke anything. I just think it's neat that we have a smokehouse. And I can't wait to put the fucker to use, because I love me some smoked meat. Mm. And you can take that however you want, to quote Colbert. So yeah, what the fuck else were we talking about? I have no idea. Like I say, there were a couple of things that I wanted to hit, you know, a couple of topics that I wanted to discuss this week, but thanks to that shit that went down today, just that long fucking discussion, I cannot remember a goddamn word of it. Like, the only reason that I remember that I wanted to talk about Fire Colbert is because I'm staring at a tweet right now where somebody is asking Steven Crowder to talk about it on his Daily Show. Oh, yeah, the French elections are coming up. I've heard a lot of different opinions about who's going to win. I hope that Marine Le Pen wins. Because honestly, listening to Stefan Molyneux's podcast, which is over at freedomainradio.com, I want to say. I might want to check that. Hang on. Yeah, that is freedomainradio.com. The largest philosophy conversation in the world. But he recently had Lauren Southern on, because she went to Paris to cover the election. And the story she tells is fucking scary, man. Like, just her experience of being over there, like, and talking to people that live with that kind of shit going on all the, like, in Paris. And just hearing her talk about this shit and what went down. Like, she was there when May Day happened. Which, May Day, fucking communists. More helicopter rides, goddammit! Anyway, it's just fucking scary. And it really does seem like, from what I've read and seen, that Marine Le Pen is, like, the only one who's going to be able to fix this. If it even is possible to fix it at this point. Yeah, I'm not sure, man. France might be beyond help. You know? And if Marine Le Pen doesn't get in, and these people who are all, like, we need to increase the flow of migrants and shit like that get in, then I don't even fucking know. Like, the French Revolution happens every 5 years. The French election happens every 5 years. It might as well be a revolution, though, because France has had more revolutions than I think any other country on the face of planet Earth. It seems like, you know, for a while there, once every 20 years, they would just up and overthrow the fucking government and kill everybody. Like, seriously, people give the French a lot of shit about being pussies and stuff like that. Wasn't always like that, fam. Wasn't always like that. The French used to be pretty fucking hardcore. Their leaders started fucking up. They would bring a guillotine up into the palace, like, driveway and cut that nigga's head off right there. It was not pleasant. It was not a good look to be a French ruler for a long fucking time. I guess they've calmed down a bit, but it probably wouldn't kill them to get a little bit of that, that firebrand spirit back. It might actually save their asses. But yeah. So, in 5 years, who knows what the fuck could happen. You know, it's kind of a scary thing to think about. Because there's been plenty of, like, I remember back in high school learning about France. You know, because I took French for, like, 4 years. That was my language from, like, freshman to senior. I took French every year. Well, there was one year there where I didn't, I wasn't able to get it because the scheduling didn't work out and I had to take Spanish. And I just did not care because I already had my language credits. So I just basically took it for an easy A, and then I think I failed the class because I just didn't try because it was fucking pointless anyway because I already had it. So, you know, why do I need to fucking worry about this? I just kind of hung out with my friends. I cut that class a lot. So the only thing that I know how to... I only know a few words in Spanish. I can cuss. I can cuss in Spanish. I can tell when someone's talking shit. I can ask for a beer, and I can ask where the bathroom is. I think I can ask for the bathroom is. That might be the most complex sentence I can say in Spanish, though. And I'm not going to demonstrate it now, because I don't fucking feel like it. My amateur polyglot doesn't feel like coming out of the closet right now. But yeah, honestly, I probably don't know enough about French politics to say anything insightful about it at all. Although that is a very disturbing picture from Paul Joseph Watson right there. It's got a bunch of French magazines and tabloids and shit like that, and every single one of them has, like, Macron's face on them. Like, all of them. That one has Le Pen. So, you know, points for inclusion. But, you know, that one looks like a magazine dedicated to it. It looks like the title is Macron. There's Garçon, L'Express, Le Point, Jeune Afrique, I think that's how that's pronounced, Challenge, Valeur. The Valeur one has got, I don't remember how to say five in French, but it's five ans de plus, which is 5 years plus, basically. Very creepy. Very creepy. Almost reminds me of something. Like Paul says, you know, it's almost like the media in France has an agenda. Can't quite put my finger on it. Although he would probably say, it's almost like the media in France has an agenda. Can't quite put my finger on it. Yes, thank you. That was the worst Paul Joseph Watson impression that you've ever heard or will ever heard in your life. Imagine my shock. I really cannot do that guy's voice. It's just too distinct. I think that's part of what gives that guy his, since we're going with France, his, je ne sais quoi, is his voice. Cause all, I'm not gonna lie, for the British people out there, y'all rock the accent, okay? It doesn't matter where you come from in England. Alright, it doesn't matter how you're viewed in your home country, whether you come from a poor area or a bad area, you could be a total scouse, you could be a Southie, you could be whatever, doesn't matter. You still sound, by virtue of that accent, like 9 times more educated than an American. You just sound more intelligent, just because of the accent. So I saw an interview with Paul one time where he was, like, somebody asked him about his accent, and he was like, actually, I'm from a relatively uneducated area of the country, and there's not really a lot of, like, my area kind of gets shit on for being low income and stuff like that. So, you know, I actually sound like kind of an idiot in England, you know, so far as accents go, because you got the more posh accent, and then you got, like, the kind of everyday workaday accents that people have. And apparently Paul's is one of the, like, average people accents. But over here, it just immediately gives him an audience because he sounds so sophisticated by virtue of sounding British. So if any of you guys in Britain are ever looking for easy pussy, come to America, go to a college town and a college bar. This is the worst advice I could give as a MGTOW. But go to a college town and a college bar and just pretend you're somebody important. Don't do that in Jersey, though. Don't do that in liberal towns? No. No, 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 no. Because once they find out that you're not, you know, some educated, suave motherfucker who flew here on his private jet, once they find out that you're not James fucking Bond, you could get saddled with a false rape charge for rape by fraud, I think is what they're calling it, which is fucking terrifying. All kinds of terrifying. I would apologize about all the MGTOW shit that's been going up, but I'm not gonna. I say, I was a MGTOW way before I found the Pulp Revolution and all this stuff that's been going on. This has been one of my issues for like 4 years now. Well, not quite. I started as an MRA. And then I realized that I'm not gonna see laws change in my fucking lifetime, unless they change for the worse. Which is happening. I just watched a, if you don't know who Bane, B-A-N-E, 666-A-U is, go look that dude up. He's on Twitter. I think he barely uses his Twitter, though. But he's got a YouTube channel, and he does a lot of really good shit. Really good fucking work on that channel. And just last night, I was watching one of his newer videos. I could probably find it. Hang on. I still have YouTube open. There's the skull in the Kool-Aid jar. Yeah, that is his okay, journalist Vonnie Moyes. Moyes? M-O-Y-E-S. Lies about the MRM / MGTOW. Basically, this journalist came out and said that, stealthing, where you're fucking a chick, and then in the middle of the fucking, you just like pull out real quick, slip the condom off, and then go raw dog that shit. Is a plot about, is a plot by, like, MRAs and MGTOWs, because, like, I don't know what the logic was. There wasn't a whole lot of logic going on, but I think the point was, like, she used a blog or a website dedicated to stealthing as an MRA site. So it's essentially that old chestnut about, You know, we'll just associate the MRAs with the absolute worst people we can possibly find, even if they're not MRAs. Like Return of Kings. Return of Kings has published some fucked up, stupid shit. There's also some wisdom on there. It's not, you know, the worst side. It's not the Daily Stormer or anything like that. You know, they have some occasional good information. Sometimes they'll give someone like Rollo Tomasi a column or something. But, you know, Aaron Clary writes for them, so they're not all bad. But it's just, like, they're not an MRA website. Like, they specifically come out and say in several articles, if you could call them articles, it's more like blog posts, but they come out and say in several posts that the MRM is no place for men and stuff like that. You know, and they're PUAs, so they repeatedly shit on MGTOW because we don't care about getting pussy. So, but yeah, this Bane video, there was a bit in there near the end where a bunch of women are getting together, a bunch of feminists are getting together, and they're having a conference about men's rights, men's reproductive rights, which, by the way, if you don't know, you don't fucking have any. Men's reproductive rights are keep it in your fucking pants or wear a condom. That's it. And if the condom breaks, you're fucked. If she wants to sperm jack you, you're fucked. You know, so, like, keeping it in your pants is the only right that you have with regards to your reproduction. But it's this panel about all women. Like, all women are on the panel. The panel is made up entirely of women. I'll stop repeating myself here shortly when I feel like the point has been made. But it's all women on the panel. The panel is nothing but women. And now I'm just being an asshole. But one of the talking points they said that they were going to bring up is what reproductive rights should men be allowed? Now, if that doesn't scare the fuck out of you as a man, it should. You're not connected into this as deep as you need to be. Because these are the women that have political power, okay? These are the women that can actually decide what rights you should be allowed, and then via hypo agency get Congress to institute it. Alright? These are the kind of women that got VAWA made into law. These are the kind of women that got Title IX made into law. But that whole should be allowed thing, and it's a conference of all women talking about men's reproductive rights. And Bane was just like, I don't know if he travels in the same online circles as I do, but the only thing I could think about is this recent Saudi Arabian conference on women's rights that the women and the feminists were all up in arms about. Just all so mad about this because there were no women on the panel to talk about women's rights in Saudi Arabia. It was all men. It was like all imams and mullahs. And I'm sitting here like, well, this sounds familiar when I'm watching Bane's video. You know, this sounds like something that might have happened before. This sounds like, this sounds like something that Muslim countries do to women. You just reverse the genders and place one ideology in place of the other one, and it's basically the same thing. And this doesn't bother people. Nope, that's fine. Women will treat us fine, guys. They'll just treat us fine. We should just trust the women. Women would never treat men bad. Never fucking happens. Ever. Just doesn't happen. Guys, they'll be perfectly fine. I'm sure that we'll be allowed full reproductive rights that women have. All of them will just be given to us. We won't have to fight for shit. We won't be marginalized. We won't be, you know, compared to animals or all called rapists or anything like that. Because that just doesn't happen. That just doesn't happen. You silly MRAs worried about what women are going to do about men's reproductive rights. It's just, it's fucking ridiculous. That's why I just can't take this shit that's been going around Twitter about female genital mutilation. Seriously. I just can't take it seriously. It's not that I don't care about the girls that are getting mutilated, because it's a horrible fucking thing. That should happen to nobody. It should all be outlawed. Male genital mutilation, female genital mutilation, all of it. It should all be fucking outlawed. And anybody who performs the procedure against the patient's will should be killed. That should be a death penalty right there. You know, you're irreparably damaging a child. Physically. You know, it's not like you just, like, these helicopter parents, oh, you can't slap your kid or whatever. You can't spank your kid on the ass or anything like that. You know, open palm, no, that's too corporal punishment. Corporal punishment, bad. Which, I mean, I get the arguments for, okay? I'm not slamming peaceful parenting or anything like that. But these people get all upset about that. Meanwhile, something like, I don't know, fuck it, let's actually see if we can find it. Let's Google foo here. Percentage of men circumcised in America. Let's see what we come up with. 83%! 83% of men in America have been circumcised. And I'm guessing like 99.999999999% of those guys were circumcised as infants when they could not even conceive of what they were getting into, let alone consent to the procedure, right? This goes on every day. Every single fucking day. Our boys are subjected to this barbaric, inhuman torture. Every day. Nobody gives a shit. Nobody cares. There's no outcry. You could hear a fucking pin drop. But as soon as some Muslim doctor in the Midwest circumcises a couple of girls, oh my God, it's a fucking outrage, and we gotta burn this person alive and take away their medical license and then burn them alive again. You know, I cannot fucking take these people seriously. I cannot take it fucking serious. I do not care. I do not care. You know, it's horrible that that happened to those girls, and the doctor should absolutely be fucking punished. But I'm not about to go get up in fucking arms about this. You know, where were you when I was circumcised? You know, where are all these people when my brother was circumcised, when my dad was circumcised? You know, where are you with all the other boys out there that this is happening to every single fucking day? Where are you fucking people? And you expect me to get up in arms about your, the same exact thing happening to you? When you have the fucking hypocrisy and just the unmitigated gall to not stand up for these boys, but you expect me to stand up for girls. Like, this just, it just proves the gynocentrism thing, guys. It fucking proves it. How often do you hear people bring up how bad male circumcision is? It's usually somebody like me, who's been involved in the men's rights scene, and who is an intactivist, and who's trying to educate people about how fucking horrible this is, and they get written off as a fucking crazy person because the guy who invented cornflakes said it would fix masturbation. It's just, like, there's no outcry about this for boys, and you expect me to jump on the fucking bandwagon when it happens to girls? Welcome to our world. Welcome to fucking our world. It's bad, isn't it? It sucks, don't it? Let's stop it! Let's just fucking stop it! But no. No. We only care about bad thing X when it happens to women. Female genital mutilation has been outlawed in the US since 1993. It's been 25 years since female genital mutilation has been outlawed, fam. Male genital mutilation? Legal and encouraged. Happens every day. Nobody bats an eyelash. They take these little babies, these little baby boys, and they strap them to a table. Yes, strap them, tie them down with Velcro straps with no anesthesia, and they cut part of their dick off. And I know somebody out there is going to be, oh, you're comparing female genital mutilation. Don't you know what they do in female genital mutilation? Yes. Yes, I do. You want to know why I do? Because I studied it, motherfucker. There are classifications of female genital mutilation. All right? There are classifications. It goes from like class 1 to class 5. Class 1 is they take like a razor blade and they just like nick the clit. That's it. Just nick it a little bit. And even that's really fucking dangerous. Okay? Like if they nick the wrong thing, if they hit a nerve in there, the woman can lose all sexual feeling for the rest of her fucking life. And that's terrible. Okay? That's fucking awful. I cannot put into words how fucking horrible that is. But there's a big difference. But and then like the second one is like they cut off a little piece of the clitoral hood, or they cut the clitoral hood off, which once again is fucking horrible. That's about where male circumcision fits on this spectrum. Except male circumcision is a little bit worse than just removing the clitoral hood. Then it goes all the way up to like cutting out the clitoris and like cutting out the clitoris and then sewing the vagina up to where it's basically just like a little pee hole. And then, God, I don't even want to fucking go into it. It's too disgusting. It's too grody. No, actually, I am going to fucking go into it. And then on the night, this usually happens in Islamic countries, by the way. On the wedding night, the husband will just force his way in there. And it'll rip all of that shit out, and it'll fucking bleed, and it'll be awful. It's quite possibly the most intense pain that woman will ever experience in her life. Okay? So now, I totally understand exactly how bad female genital mutilation can get. But let's not pretend that all cases of female genital mutilation are the same. Just like not all cases of male genital mutilation are the same. Okay? Like, there's tribes in Africa where guys have lost their dicks. Like, completely lost their dicks because the circumcision was botched and it just, like, split their penis in half. Yeah, this doesn't just happen in the West, gang. To people who have, like, nice medical facilities and aloe and medicine and shit like that. You know, this happens out in the bush where they just, like, put a rock over a fire for a couple of hours and then just BAM! And cut your fucking foreskin off. Although, usually that happens when the boy is about to enter puberty or adulthood, which, you know, God only knows how they fucking sit there and take that. But, but when a boy is born, the foreskin is fused to the tip of the penis. Okay? It is fused there. It does not come off. People like to make arguments about cleanliness. You know how you clean a baby dick? You wipe it the fuck off. That's it. You don't have to do anything special. You ain't gotta peel nothing back. You just wipe it off. That's it. It's literally the simplest thing in the world. And like, people make arguments about later on in life. Well, why don't you teach your son how to wash his fucking dick? Okay? He's not too stupid to understand that. I'll guarantee it. There are people with Down syndrome who understand how to bathe themselves. I'm sorry, guys. I get impassioned about this. This shit pisses me off. So yes, male genital mutilation and female genital mutilation are comparable in like the vast majority of instances. Sometimes it's worse for women. Sometimes it's worse for men. Much like every single other issue out there that people want to make gendered that doesn't really need to be. My problem comes in when people will actively defend circumcision in males and then expect me to get up in arms when it happens to a girl. So you're shitting on me and every other man like me. And you expect me to come hop on your bandwagon when it's convenient for you? No, fuck you. Go take care of your own shit. What's more, I know that you're going to be able to get it taken care of because people care about women. Nobody cares about boys and men. Nobody fucking cares. That's why I get so fucking angry. Because these boys are being tortured, they're being mutilated every day in first world countries. It is 2017, and 83% of, these numbers are from, has declined. Okay, so it has declined a little bit. 83% in the 1960s to 77% in 2010. The overall rate among U.S. males age 14 to 59 is 81%, according to the CDC. So 81%. I wasn't that far off with all my ranting and raving here. Still plenty too much. But yeah, like, you're just shitting on me and all of these other guys. 81% of the U.S. male population. And you expect me to get all upset when I know for a fact you're going to have government behind you when I don't have government behind me? Fuck you. Fuck you, I don't care. Go handle your own shit. I'm going to be over here. Getting drunk and being angry. Although on the bright side, I did see this just kind of made me smile. I was tweeting about it today, actually. There's a company out there that makes AI sex robots. Now, I don't know how advanced they are. I didn't go looking because I'm not really interested in that whole thing. Like, the whole sex robot thing, like, yeah, it's a neat idea. But I'm the kind of dumbass that would, like, lose my fist, in the midst of coitus with an android. And then, like, bleed out and die on the floor from embarrassment. Just because I don't want to fucking call the doctor and tell him that I lost my hand fisting my android girlfriend. But now, my real issue with the sex robot thing is that, like I say, it's a cool idea, but it's one of those things where, like, those things, like, you guys, I'm assuming you guys know what the Uncanny Valley is, right? Basically, hang on, let me look up a definition so that I get this right. Okay, the Uncanny Valley is used in reference to the phenomenon whereby a computer-generated figure or humanoid robot bearing a near-identical resemblance to a human being arouses a sense of unease or revulsion in the person viewing it. So, that just means that you look at something that's supposed to be human, like CGI or a robot, and it looks almost human, but not enough to be there. You know what I mean? Not like Blade Runner, you know? And I know they're actors and everything like that, but not like the robots in Blade Runner. The robots in Blade Runner looked human. Like, if you didn't know they were a robot, you wouldn't be able to tell them apart. For the most part, unless you're someone like Deckard, who's trained to hunt them down. But the sex robots that we have now are just creepy. They're just, they, like, hit the Uncanny Valley and fucking stay there. I don't know what the deal is. They just look fucking weird. I couldn't bring myself to put my dick in that. I don't know. It just creeps me out. I just want to take, like, 10 steps back and, like, go drink. You know, it just... But there's this company, I think they're out of Britain. I'm not really sure. It's like Abyssal Creations or something like that. Okay, I'm not going to be able to find it. I don't remember what the Twitter profile was. But I might be able to go find it in my tweets and retweets and shit. Give me a minute here. Maybe it'll be in my notifications. It'll be a fucking while back, because, like I say, we had a lot of shit that happened today. But this happened, like, last night or early today. So, maybe if I scroll long enough, I can find it. Also, I just want to say, if you're not following Ogma, OGHMA_EM, on Twitter, you're doing yourself an intense disservice. That guy is a lot of fucking fun. He's the first married Irish Catholic guy I've ever met in my life that will make gay jokes with me. Ogma's cool as fuck. Y'all need to go follow Ogma. I'll put a link to his Twitter down in the description. God, this is taking forever. Yeah, that's right. This conversation did go on for like 6-7 fucking hours. Here we go. It wasn't Abyssal, it was Abyss Creation. At Abyss Creations. And they have this picture. I'll link the tweet now that I've got it. I'll link the tweet down in the description. But it's, what do you think of Harmony, the world's first sex-capable artificial intelligence? And it's this humanoid robot that looks human, but once again, that Uncanny Valley thing is just, it creeps me out looking at this thing. Like, I watched Terminator way too many fucking times as a kid. Way too many fucking times. Alright? I'm just, like, the whole idea of robot and android girls just freaks me out. Or robots and androids in general, not just robot and android women, you know. But just, like, imagining having that just hanging around the house, you know, it just creeps me the fuck out. Like, I get creeped out about having other people, like normal humans, in the house with me. You know, like when I'm sleeping and shit like that, it worries me that there are other people in the house. Like, I have a lock on my bedroom door that does not open from the outside, because I get freaked out about people coming in my room at night. I could not live with a fucking robot, especially after all the horror stories that I've read. And not like horror stories like, oh, this actually happened to this one guy. No, I mean like fiction, like actual horror stories. I just couldn't have that in my fucking house, man. I don't care how big its tits are or how wide its hips are. I could not have that in my fucking house. It's too creepy. But yeah, going through the tweets, or the responses to this tweet, this company is very, very good. I'm in full support of what these people are doing, because if guys want this, or if women want this, actually, as shown by the first response here, then they should be able to get it. They should be able to get it. If you want that, fine, go for it. If that's your bag, if you can take having that in your house, if you can fuck that every night, fine. Who am I to judge you? You know, me with my, you know, pile of 2D waifus, with my fucking JoJo's Bizarre Adventure body pillow cover. I don't have the pillow yet. I still need to get the pillow, but the pillows are expensive, man. They're like $18-$25. It's Joseph and Caesar, if you were wondering. Exactly how much of a fucking degenerate I am. Like I said, y'all niggas haven't even seen my final form yet. It's actually a very well done body pillow. Like, the art is very good, despite the fact that it's bar of titties. But someone responded, does she come in he form? And they said that the male counterpart is under construction. Boom! You're opening yourself up to all of the markets out there. Like, I know that there's going to be a lot fewer women that are going to line up for a male sex robot AI. You know, far fewer women are going to sign up for this. But if you're already putting out female robots, why not go ahead and put out male robots and let the girls who want it get it? I really don't see the problem with that. So good on them for understanding capitalism. bitch, what the fuck? Are y'all trying to corrupt and destroy all pureness, intimacy, and love? I mean, damn. And then they respond, some may find their own form of intimacy and love with a non-human. We have become Futurama, everybody. We have become Futurama. The robosexuals are here. Does she come feminism free? She's a robot. She doesn't care about stuff like that. This was the one that I was looking at. This was the one that really made me smile here. Someone responded to them. This was like yesterday. Are you making ones that look like everyday girls? I'm assuming the standards for the way we look will be growing from things like this. And then the company, Abyss Creations, says, we make them look how our paying customers want them to look. We can't control someone else's taste. And then here comes the fucking mangina. How do you think people that actually use or normalize these on a daily basis will treat women IRL? Probably pretty normally. We've sold dolls for over 20 years and heard nothing about it having negative effects. But yeah, very, very good response, guys. Very, very good response to, from Abyss Creations, Real Doll. They make them look how their paying customers want them to look. They can't control someone else's tastes. Thank God. This company fucking gets it. I should send this to Raging Golden Eagle. He does a lot of videos about sex robots and stuff like that. I don't know if he's necessarily into it himself, but he's kind of got my perspective on it. Like, he understands why people would want that, why guys would want that. Good for them for putting their customers first as opposed to an ideology or an agenda. Good on them. Very, very proud of that. This whole thing is just fucking creepy, man. I just say that because it's the uncanny valley thing for me. That and the amount of times that I've watched Terminator. I know, citing a movie from the 80s about, you know, to justify my fear of humanoid robots is kind of lame. But at the same time, I watched Jaws when I was like somewhere in between 8 and 13. Like, me and my cousin sat down and watched Jaws on like TNT or something like that. Back when TNT was still a thing. I don't even know if that fucking company is still in business. But they used to show all kinds of great movies on TNT. It was a really, really good channel. Yeah, I watched Jaws back when I was a kid, and now I have like a crippling fear of the ocean. I like the beach. The beach is cool. I like going to the beach. I'm not getting in the water under any circumstances at all, ever. Like, I went on a cruise back when my mom was still alive. Like, she had gotten like some kind of health insurance payout. I don't know. And she knew that she wasn't going to be around. Like, this was like, she had already lost her hair and everything like that. We all kind of knew the end was coming. And we went on this cruise. It was like a carnival thing. And, cruise was awesome. It was a lot of fun. That was probably the best vacation I ever took. They had a pretty banging, arcade on that ship. I wanted to go play blackjack, but they wouldn't let me because I was under 21. Which pissed me off because I just want to play cards, man. I like playing blackjack. You could just deal me in, and then if I win, you know, dealer keeps the money or whatever. I don't have to gamble. I just want to play cards, but they wouldn't let me in. Fucking tight asses. How dare they not want to let children gamble? So me and my brother played, what was it? House of the Dead 4? 3? I think it was 4. It was the one with Kirin. And, like, the end level was the like, silver guy that flew all around the fucking room. I think it was 4. No, it was 3. House of the Dead 3. They had a House of the Dead 3 machine. And we would play that all day. It was really fun. But I would sit out on the damn, like, the deck, I guess this was what it was, at night. And I would be reading, like, Dreamcatcher at the time, which is a really, really fucking good Stephen King book. I recently got the audiobook for that one. Recently, this was like last year. And the audiobook is really good too. The narrator did a bang up fucking job on that. Yeah, I would just be reading Stephen King and like looking out at night over the ocean. And we were like out of sight of land. We were in the middle of the ocean. And it was just terrifying thinking about what might be under there. Like I understand intellectually that sharks aren't, like, they're dangerous, but they're not really interested in people. And you're really not likely to get bit by a shark when you're swimming in the ocean, especially if you, like, stay close to land and whatnot. But fuck the ocean, man! I'm just scared of it. I don't like it. I just stay away. It's like that Alice in Chains song. Ah, stay away! Or just do not do it. Do not do the ocean. That is not one of my favorite things. I love the beach. I love the beach. Beach is so much fun. Beach is so cool. Apart from getting sand in your ass. But the beach is a lot of fun. Beach is really, really cool. I like the sand. You know, I'm not a little bitch like Anakin. I like sand. You know, I like picking up shells and looking out at the waves and stuff like that. And wading out a little bit and getting the taste of the salt water and everything like that. Not like, you know, drinking salt water or whatever, but just, you know, going out there and experiencing it. You know what I mean? But don't expect me to get in anything deeper than, like, knee-high water. Not gonna happen. It's too much dangerous shit in the ocean. I don't go in there. And it's the same thing with the dating scene. It's too much dangerous shit out there. I don't go in there. You never know when you're gonna get hit by a jellyfish. Oh, God. I'm sorry that this kind of just devolved into total horseshit. I had a couple of things that I'd wanted to talk about. I think I hit most of them. There was the Fire Colbert thing. There was the female genital mutilation thing, which that's just something that's been building up for the longest time. Like, I've been talking about intactivism for like 3 years now and seeing all these people get up in fucking arms about female genital mutilation and, you know, oh my God, it happened to like 2 girls in Michigan or wherever. Okay. Yeah, that's bad. I'm waiting. I'm waiting for you to start caring about all the boys that this is happening to. You're not gonna, okay. All right, fine. I'll just go play fucking video games. Fuck all you people. But if any of you guys are interested in the MGTOW thing, I did find a couple of really good channels, new guys, actually. Lately, like I say, if any of you are interested, Bane is more of the MRA kind of thing. He is a MGTOW, but he concentrates more on MRM stuff, trying to get laws changed, debunking feminist arguments. Like, he has an entire series. It's like in his 40th, no, it's, there it is, 50th episode, The Propaganda of Toxic Feminism, 52. Yeah, he's up to 52 on that one. That one's a really, really fucking good series. I highly recommend everybody go and check out Bane. But the new guys that I found are Hugh Mann and Coder. So Hugh Mann is an Australian, and it's little H-U, big M-A-N. So, like, small H, small U, big M, big A, big N. Hugh Mann. And he's got some really fucking good videos. Really good videos. Like, his best one is probably MGTOW and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance. That's really good. It's only like, it's not even 15 minutes long. It's like 14 and a half. Really, really good. The rest of his stuff is also very, very good and well thought out, and he makes a lot of good points. I really like his content. He doesn't have a whole lot of videos out, because, like I say, he only started about 4 months ago. And I just found this guy through Turd Flinging Monkey. But very well thought out stuff. Very thought provoking, I guess is the way you would want to put it. His video, Why She Wants You Vulnerable, kind of blew my fucking mind. Like, I never really thought about it like that before. But he's got a point. He's got a real serious point. And through him, I found Coterie. And it's just C-O-T-E-R-I-E. I'll link these guys' channels in the description. But yeah, this guy has an amazing voice. He has zero audio production. Like, he sounds like he's recording out of a potato. And like, I listen on earbuds, so I hear everything. But like, I've heard like construction and animals in the back. But it's forgivable because like, what he's saying is very, very interesting stuff. His video on the Muse Effect is very intriguing. He's also got an interesting video about Sith philosophy. It's on Sith philosophy, metaphysical naturalism, and the extrapolation of individualism. Very, very heavy thought-provoking content from this guy. He's got a couple of videos on the digitization of self, a Faustian bargain. He recently put up part two of that one, which is Technocapitalism, Neuroerosion, and You, which that is a very scary video, and I don't know, it seems to be coming at it from like a communist perspective, because he talks a lot about techno-capitalism is basically like the name implies, technological capitalism, with computers and the ability to communicate with people all over the world and stuff like that, and how it affects people and how it degrades your neurological productivity, I guess is a good way to put it. I've had a couple of drinks, shut up. But basically his point with that video is like, this shit is going to engulf the earth. This is how we defeat ISIS. This is how we defeat, you know, all kinds of other fucked up, holy shit. Biter? Biter's a friend of mine from the Pony days. He's subscribed to Coterie. Holy shit. I did not take Biter for a MGTOW. I hope I didn't out the guy. Nobody who knows him listens to this podcast. I don't even think he listens to this podcast. But yeah, apparently it says already subscribed, and it's got, like, you know, some... Oh, the Oak Shard. Yeah, I remember the Oak Shard. He's a good guy. A lot of good videos on his channel. That is, if he still has them up. Some of these guys will just ghost. And they'll just fucking disappear. And delete all their videos. Like, it happened with the Straight Shooter, who is actually not a MGTOW. Very good channel, though. I really miss his old videos, man. Like, two, three years ago, he had, like, 200 fucking videos up on his channel. It was just full of fucking awesome knowledge that guys like me, back when I first found him, could really benefit from. Because this guy's married, and he doesn't consider himself a MGTOW. He's not a MGTOW. But he understands it, and he supports it, because it makes sense. So MGTOW kind of welcomed this guy with open arms. It's like, okay, you know, we get that you're married, but come on, this conversation is for guys. You're a guy. You understand what we're talking about. Get your ass in here. You know, and he had all these great videos, and then he just, like, deleted them all. And then started, you know, I don't remember if it was accidental or what, but he just deleted all his videos. And then he started uploading again. And, like I say, he's got a very good channel. He deals with a lot of, like, black community issues and stuff like that, but he's not solely focused on that. So if you're looking for some good, just general men's knowledge, then The Straight Shooter, black guy, is a older black guy. This dude looks to be about maybe my dad's age, like 50s, mid-50s, maybe. Not really sure. But Coterie, yeah, Coterie has a great, amazing voice. Like, I want to tap this guy, or I would want to tap this guy as a voice actor for Dimension Bucket Media, just because his voice is so goddamn good. But he has no understanding of audio production, as is completely evident from his videos. But his audio production isn't the important thing here. The important thing is the ideas that he is putting forward. And in particular, his video, The Minimalist Lifestyle, on The Minimalist Lifestyle. It's like 12 and a half minutes, not even. Really, really, really good video. I agree with basically everything he fucking said. Like, everything he said resonated with me. Very interesting guy. Knows how to tell a story. And he's just, like I say, he's just got this great voice. He just needs to learn how to edit and treat his fucking audio. I might want to help him with that. Maybe I'll ramp up my rants channel and start doing MGTOW shit again. And come out just first with a video. It's like, okay, look, if you want to make good audio, here's how you fucking do. All right. Sorry about that, guys. I have no idea why it, stopped recording there, but, you didn't really miss anything. It was just like, you know, if you want to make good audio, this is how you fucking do it, you scrubs. And then my cat came over and said hello, which she might have been what caused the audio to stop recording, or maybe I just hit the wrong fucking button or what. I don't know. But anyway, that's probably a good place to cut it there. So go follow Ogma. And if you're interested in this MGTOW shit, I can recommend other channels. But the two guys that I've kind of been listening to for the past week are Hugh Mann and Coterie. Very good channels. Very insightful guys there. Happy that people are still doing the MGTOW thing. And these guys are actually pushing knowledge forward, not just bitching about women all the time, which is what people like fucking angry MGTOW do. It's very annoying. But I'm glad that these guys are out here doing what they do. And you guys should probably go check them out. That's if you're interested in that kind of thing. Hello. Yes. Okay. Come here. So the cat comes over here and acts like she wants to be petted. That I pick her up and she freaks out and runs off. My cat's neurotic as hell, guys. Anyway, should probably do the sponsors here. Let's see. Just to kind of close things out, because I've been going on for about an hour and a half. You want to come over here now? You want to? See, she freaks out every single time. Then I set her down and she's fine. She doesn't like to be picked up, but she loves attention. Anyway. So yeah. That's about it. If you like what I do here and you want to support me, there are a couple of ways that you can go about that. Some of them directly benefit me. Some of them benefit me and other people. Some of them just benefit other people because they're nice guys and you should go check their shit out. So, first up, we have the Cat Kimbridge audiobooks. I did 6, 7, and 8 in this series. It is good military science fiction. It is actually super versive, if that's a draw for you personally, because I know that some of you guys out there like it when God has taken his red as existing, and there is a higher truth in the universe of the fiction that you're reading. So the Cat Kimbridge books are some really good shit. Like I say, I did 6, 7, and 8. You don't have to read the rest of them to enjoy. I started reading this series at 7. That was the first book that I got contracted in, and I enjoyed the hell out of it. I didn't really understand everything that was going on, but going back and rereading it, it was kind of this Farscape meets, I don't even know, man. It's kind of original. And, like, strong female character and everything like that, but that doesn't really get in the way of things, and it's not really one of those, like, oh, I'm a strong woman just existing in a man's world. That's one of the things that I really, you know, I didn't think about it until now, but that's one of the things that I really fucking like about the Cat Kimbridge books, is that Cat Kimbridge, she doesn't approach this as like, oh, I'm a woman and I deserve respect, you know, because I'm a woman in a man's world and all of that bullshit. She doesn't come out there with that. She just fucking does it, man. She just comes out there and does it. I mean, it helps that, like, within the first, like, book or two, she dies, basically. And then, I think it's the first book, actually, so I'm not really spoiling anything. But she dies and then gets reconstructed by this alien. I can't remember the name of them. Her body gets reconstructed. And she's, like, stronger, faster, hits harder, thinks quicker, has, like, a neural link, can control nanomachines and all of that stuff. Really, really cool series. But she doesn't, like, become arrogant because of that, and she doesn't get all up in herself because she's a woman who's dominating a man's field, and she treats her subordinates with respect, and she knows how to lead, and, you know, she knows when to sit back, and it's just, it's a really, really fucking well-written series. I cannot praise it enough. And not just because I get royalties off of those audiobooks. You should go get the other ones, too. They're actually really good. Very interesting. Very cool aliens. Like, there's a whole race of aliens in these books that are, like, moth people. And they have very high, fast-functioning brains. And they can do math like that. Like, they use the moth character in the book as a navigator. Sassy, I think, is the guy's name. They use him as the navigator because he can compute faster than the computers can. It's just, it's really, really fucking cool. You guys should go check them out. They're awesome books. Like I say, I get royalties off of the audiobooks for 6, 7, and 8. So if you want to support me, that's one way that you can fucking do it. It's also getting a TV show. It's still in production, I think. I haven't heard anything from Andrew Beery, the author, in months about that TV show or about other work. I should probably email the guy. Just be like, hey, I'm still over here if you got other books you want recorded. So next we have, Dimension Bucket Media Books, which, like I say, this is all very, like, early stages right now. So I think we just still have most of them in paperback, or we might have a couple of them in audio by the time this comes out. Might. But we're working on getting them all in ebook and audio format. So first up, we have Hell's 5-Minute Tales of Horror. This is a collection of micro-horror fiction by Hell Richards. From what I understand, it's very good, but because we only have, you know, published versions now, or print versions, I haven't been able to read it. But I've read Hell's writing before, like her unpublished stuff, and it's very good. So, just, you know, if that sounds interesting to you, go pick it up. She actually designed part of the cover, which is probably why it looks so damn cool. Next, we have Dimension of Cobwebs. The Dimension of Cobwebs is a reprint of a bunch of weird tales from classic masters of horror and science fiction. It's, you know, H.G. Wells and H.P. Lovecraft and stuff like that. Some of these guys, it's their lesser-known stories. I think the Lovecraft tale is At the Mountains of Madness. But then you've got stuff like I think the name of the tale is The Spider, and then The Judge's House by Bram Stoker, which hardly anybody has fucking read, and it's an amazingly good story. So yeah, if that sounds like something you might be interested in, these weird tales from these classic authors, go pick that up. We got it all nicely curated for you in that one. Next, we have Darkest of Dreams. And Darkest of Dreams is a collection of original short fiction by the Dimension Bucket crew. So some of us you may know, some of us you may not, but we're all veterans of the creepypasta circuit. There's myself, Jim Fear 138, Nathan Dabney. There is Christopher Warren, who has been going by Dimension Bucket until we turn that into a business. There is Connor Goff, who is not Shade, who wrote, like, The Color White, if you remember that story from the creepypasta circuit. And William Harmer, who is Gentleman Walrus, and he is a very good narrator. I have yet to read any of his fiction, but I'm told it's very good, and the guy who tells me that has never recommended me a bad story before, and he's a very competent writer himself. So you can probably take my secondhand word on that. But if you want to read some of my short fiction, there's 3 stories from each of us in there, so you'll get 3 of mine. I think that one has The Visitor from me. My stories in that are The Visitor, The Hunter, and one other story that I don't remember what the third one is. But yeah, you'll know if you get the book. Then there's A Man Upstairs, which is a collection of creepy dark verse by Christopher Warren. And that one, actually, I'll tell you all that in a minute. Next we have Cracked, which is by Connor Goff, which is a tale of a man who discovers this secret about reality, and then reality starts breaking around him, and he has to run to fix it before shit happens. It's a novella. It's, you know, I like Connor's writing very much. He's one of my favorite writers out of the... Him and Barnabas Demos are my 2 favorite writers that have come out of the creepypasta community. They're just the best. So Cracked, like, I haven't read Cracked, but I've read his other stuff, and I have no reason to believe that Cracked is any kind of drop-off in quality. Next, we have Phoenix on the Sword, which is the first published Codan story. So if you're going by Alexander over at Kirsova's rules, then you will be reading these in the actual correct order, publication order, rather than chronological order, if you go and pick this one up. It's a very good story. It's about Conan. He's already king of Aquilonia, and he's got, you know, all of these people that are trying to depose him because he's seen as this bloody-handed barbarian king who came in and killed their old king, who's now, like, sainted, and, you know, all of the people laud his achievements and his kindness and generosity when he was nothing of the fucking sort. Like, Conan just deposed a tyrant and then just kind of took the tyrant's place and then started doing the most libertarian shit of all time. Like, he lowered taxes. He cut a bunch of laws. Basically, at this point, Conan was Trump. I'm just kidding. Trump hasn't done shit. Oh, let's piss off everybody tonight. But yeah, with regards to the Dimension Bucket Media shit, I should give y'all a convention report while I'm here. This was fucking hysterical. Okay, so they went up to the convention. I wasn't there. I heard all of this like secondhand, but they went to the convention and they had enough to fill their table. And, we had invited Vincent Vinicava along, which if you listen to Mr. Creepypasta, then you should know who Vincent is. Or if you're involved in Creepypasta at all, you should know who Vincent Vinicava is. He's a decent guy. He's actually a damn good writer when he wants to be, but he's got a bunch of books out. Or he had a bunch of books out. I think he took them all down because he was dissatisfied with them. But he's got a comic book out and stuff like that. You can go to his site. I think it's like VincentVinacava.com. Vincent, VENACAVA.com. But he brought a bunch of his shit to the convention, and he sat up next to us. And, you know, it was all a good time, and a bunch of people came by. Dimension Bucket Christopher actually sold one of his art prints at the show for like $100 fucking. And the guy didn't take it with it. He like gave them the money and was like, hey, just here's my information. Just mail it to me later. And like, we're some unknowns at this convention. Like, we just became a business last month. Like, right before the convention happened, we got verified as a business. And this guy is just like giving them money and telling them, oh, just mail it to me. It'll be fine. So that's fun. But also, our rivals were also there. So people like the Escape Artists Network, which has like Escape Pod, Pseudopod, and Podcastle. And they came up to them, and I'm so glad I wasn't fucking here. I'm so glad I wasn't there for this, you guys. But they came up to them and were like, hey, you know, you guys do audiobooks. That's cool. You've worked with these other people that we know. We want you guys to work with us on like Escape Pod and stuff like that. Or Pseudopod does horror. You guys are into horror. So they passed us off to, they gave us their business card and they want us to do voice work for Pseudopod, which I know how I feel about that. But at this point, like I'm kind of looking at it Machiavellian style. If they will give us an opportunity to promote ourselves, then I have no problem working for them, especially if they're willing to pay us. So if they're willing to pay us and let us promote ourselves on their platform, which is substantially larger than ours, yeah, I'm willing to use them as a stepping stone to get where we want and eventually take them down. They don't listen to this fucking podcast. We don't have any worries. If they listened to this podcast, then I already would have been blocked on Twitter. I did an entire podcast fucking reaming them for like 58 straight minutes. And then Skyboat Media was there. And that's fun, because I have a special grudge against them. They're the guys who do Nightmare Magazine and Lightspeed Magazine. And they do the, like, women and people of color destroy horror and science fiction or whatever the fuck it is. But Stefan Rudnicki was there. And Vincent Vinicava. And Vincent, I owe you a fucking beer for this. Because I could not have trolled Stefan Rudnicki this well if I tried, fam. If I had tried. I would have been a lot more confrontational than this, but that's because I have a grudge against the guy and Vincent doesn't. But Vincent goes up to him and he's like, oh, hey, you know, this is really cool stuff, man. You guys got all this stuff going on here, you know? I'm a writer. We got stuff at our table. And he's like, oh, well, we're actually, and, you know, Stefan Rudnicki's like, oh, well, we're actually looking for writers right now. And, Vincent just completely missed the fucking point of that statement and that entire conversation and proceeded to accidentally troll the absolute godfuck out of Stefan Rudnicki. So he's like, actually, I know a guy who's a really good narrator. Hey, Chris, come here. Would you say that Spike is a good narrator? For those of you who don't know, Spike is Mr. Creepypasta. Would you say that Spike is a good narrator? Yeah, Spike's a good narrator. Oh yeah, you guys should definitely check him out if you're looking for narrators, man, because he's like Mr. Creepypasta on YouTube, and he's got like 1.5 million subscribers. He's this really, really fucking good narrator. And Stefan was just like, yeah, well, we're not looking for narrators right now. We're looking for writers. Yeah, but he's a really good narrator, and you guys should totally look into hiring him, man. He'd be really good for you guys, you know? just like the absolute like clueless trolling that went on there. Vincent, I owe you a beer. I take back every possibly negative thing I might have ever said about you. I owe you a beer. You're a genius. You're an angel. You're an ally, and I love you. But yeah, we actually managed to almost sell out of a couple of things at that convention. A Man Upstairs almost sold out. I think Cracked almost sold out, something like that. Like, the original shit really did sell out. And A Man Upstairs, I think, sold out more because there was just, like, no one doing dark poetry at the convention. But we actually managed, according to my compatriots, we actually managed to outsell Skyboat Media's table. Like, hardly anybody bought anything from them. And they had, like, an audiobook of Harlan Ellison's stuff and just all of this really, like, super professionally done shit. And, like, they've been established in this genre for years, guys. I mean, years. Like, they bill themselves as the most respected audio production company on the West Coast. And who knows, they may be, whether or not they deserve it. But they've been here for years, and some fucking upstarts who barely scrape together enough money to get our business license and come to the convention at the same time managed to outsell their asses. It's just really fucking gratifying. It gives me that fire inside, you know, to get back to fucking work on all of this. If it wasn't for the moving and shit, I would be burning through material right now, but I've just had to spend the last, like, 4 or 5 days just moving and cleaning and painting and all of that shit, and it's been fucking crazy over here. But yeah, the convention was a rousing success, guys. Just like reports from the battlefield and shit. So on with the sponsors here. Next, we have Aaron Clary, America's older brother, the older brother that you might have never had, or the older brother who at least knows more shit than your older brother does. He blogs at captaincapitalism.blogspot.com. He has a YouTube channel. He has a podcast out on iTunes and SoundCloud. And, he also runs a consulting business at assholeconsulting.com. So if you need to unfuck your life, or if you need advice on how to not fuck your life up, go to Aaron. He's smarter and wiser than you or me. He knows what to do. He'll lead you in the right direction. I promise. He's saved people millions of dollars. Millions of dollars just by going and paying him $35 to do a video and answer your questions. Just go pay Aaron and save yourself some fucking trouble. Trust me on that. And you should also subscribe to his YouTube channel. He's got a lot of good information out there. His books are also very good. He's got shit like Worthless, The Young Person's Indispensable Guide to Choosing the Right Major, which if you've got someone who's going into college, or if you're going into college, you don't know what you want to study, they don't know what they want to study, Worthless will tell them how to not waste their college degree and get themselves into debt for nothing. He's got Bachelor Pad Economics, which is the financial advice Bible for men. He's got The Black Man's Guide Out of Poverty, which if you're a black man and you think you deserve better, go pick up the Kindle for that because you don't want to get your ass beat, and read that one. He's looking into getting that one in audio. But he wants to get a black guy to read it. Otherwise, I would have fucking volunteered a long time ago. But he wants to get a black guy to read it. So if you're a black voice actor out there and you want some money and you can deliver professionally and on time, go get in touch with Aaron Clary about reading that book. He will hook you up. He pays very promptly. He's an old school fucking capitalist. He's very professional. And he doesn't turn back too many notes. So if you know what you're doing, you can probably get by with one take. But yeah, he's got other books like Reconnaissance Man, which I recorded the audiobook for. And this book is more like, you know, if you don't know what you want to do with your life, if you think you might be wasting your life going to college or something like that, if you're in high school, preferably, ideally, this is for high school level people. But if you're in high school and you don't know what you want to do with your life, pick up this book. It's not a long read, and he goes through all of the shit that you might want to do, like how to save money and how to trip around the country, where's the best place to look to live, where's the best job markets, all of that stuff. He goes over all of it. It's a very interesting book. And I highly recommend it. If you want to get the audiobook version, I don't get royalties off of it, but it's still a really good book, and I had a lot of fun recording it. He's also got Enjoy the Decline, which is a book about accepting and living with the death of the United States. And there's so much insanely good information in there, not just financial and psychological, but economic as well. I highly recommend that one. That's my favorite book by Aaron. That's the book that really got me into his shit. Like, I liked his YouTube channel, so I went and bought one of his books. I bought Enjoy the Decline. I was like, oh, this sounds like my speed. And from there on, I will buy anything that Aaron puts out sight unseen, because I know it's going to be quality, because it's fucking Aaron Clary. So go look up Aaron Clary. That's AaronClary. Aaron Clary. He will help you out. Even if you don't want to use his asshole consulting shit, there's a lot of good wisdom and information in his books, in his YouTube channel, in his blog posts, all of that shit. Go look up Aaron. I would consider it a personal favor, because he plugs me in his podcast, he tries to get me work, he recommends me to people for doing voice work and stuff like that. So I try to turn people on to him when I can. He's a good guy, he's a solid employer, and he's a very wise and smart dude. So go look him up. Next, we have John E. Boyle. John has written Queen's Heir, which is, let me bring up my thing here, which is a fantasy set among the Hittites at the end of the Bronze Age. So he's tapping into a market that not a lot of people have hit here. You know, it's a fantasy set at the end of the Bronze Age that you don't really see a lot of fiction coming out of that era. So he's got a good deal going here. He has contracted me to do the audiobook, currently working on that one. I haven't had a lot of time this week because, you know, moving and shit, but that one's going to be coming out very soon. I keep forgetting, because time means nothing to me. Like, I'm a night owl, and I frequently lose track of time, and if nobody's forcing me to keep up with what day it is, I will lose days or gain days. Just because I don't fucking pay attention to the calendar. So I really shouldn't have said that it would be out about a month and a half from now. But if I really bust my ass, I can probably get it done that quick. After we get done moving in and everything. Like I say, after next Monday when we get our internet hooked up and I get my audio booth moved over to the new place, it's going to be fucking on, fam. You're going to see levels of productivity that are going to shock and astound you. But it's a very good... Well, I haven't read the book yet. Okay, I don't read books before I narrate them. I'm weird like that because I just don't have fucking time. So I read them. I read them as I'm narrating, and I will talk with the author about how they want different characters to sound and stuff like that as I'm going on. So I haven't read it yet, but I'm in the process of reading it. So I can't tell you how it ends up, or who the main players are, or anything like that. But what I can say is that if the guy came to me to get the audiobook done, then you know it's quality. And, like, he didn't come to me through ACX or any shit like that. Like, I didn't audition for this. He came to me and wants me to read his book. You know it's quality. If the guy's coming to me, you know it's quality. You know, because I don't do no bullshit. I don't turn y'all on to no bullshit. I'm very anti-bullshit around here. Not only that, but the guy has been very understanding during when I was having my medical problems and my unprofessionalism during that period with my eyes. I was very stressed out, very depressed. It was the first time in like a year that I had suicidal thoughts. And he was very, very understanding and very kind and gentle about the whole thing. And he's a good man. He's a good man. And I would consider it a personal favor if you just go to my blog, click on the icon for Queen's Heir. It's on the right side, in between the Catherine Kimbridge Chronicles and Aaron Clary's books. And just go buy that. Go buy that. I'm doing the audiobook for it, and that'll be coming out as soon as I can get it fucking done, which shouldn't be all that long from now. I would give it probably 2 weeks to get done from next Monday when we get the internet hooked up at the new place. I can probably finish it in 2 weeks. That's if I don't get bogged down with other projects. In that case, it might take 2.5, 3, but I'm going to get it done as fast as possible and as well as I possibly can do, because he's been so very, very kind to me, and I really do owe the guy, and I want to give him the best quality that I possibly can. Gwen, will you get off of the computer? Thank you. She's getting antsy. I need to go ahead and finish up this sponsor role. So yeah, go buy Queen's Heir, guys. Go buy Queen's Heir. I will say that link on my website is an affiliate link, which I'm going to be getting to next, but I'm going to go ahead and explain the affiliate thing. Basically, what an affiliate does is you click on the affiliate link. It's special HTML code, right? That the website has given me, that or just a special link that has an ID number in it that lets them know that this person came from me. So Amazon, which is the seller for Queen's Air, will take a cut out of their profits, and they will kick it back to me. It's like 2-3%, something like that. It's not a lot. But
Gwen, don't play on that.
But the seller, in this case Mr. Boyle, gets to keep his entire cut. He doesn't take a cut. You don't pay anything extra. I just get a commission from Amazon's profits for driving traffic to their websites. That's it. That's what it is. And it's not one of those things where you can like, oh, I'll go to the website through Jim's affiliate link and I'll wish list this and then buy it later. If you're going to buy it, go through my affiliate link and buy it. Because it doesn't really help me if you go through my affiliate link and wish list it and then sign into Amazon the regular way later and then buy it then. Because then it doesn't, that sale doesn't go through the affiliate account. You have to buy it when you go to their website through mine. It's just, I know it's a pain in the ass, guys, but if you want to help me out, this is how you fucking do it. So on to the affiliate accounts. So we have the Amazon affiliate, which works with anything. If you're going to buy anything off of Amazon, I would appreciate it if you would go through my blog first. Just go to jimfear138.blogspot.com. You can fucking bookmark it if you feel like it. You're going to have to turn off your ad block. Sorry to say. Sorry to go all mundane mad on you guys. Just turn off that pesky ad block. Yeah, that's right, asshole. Elephants never forget. But it's special HTML code that I got from Amazon, and it's an ad, so ad block blocks it. So if you have ad block on and you haven't whitelisted my blog, go ahead and do that. And then you can click on the Amazon affiliate link, and it will take you directly to Amazon.com. And then you can type in whatever you want. And it will, if you actually type in actual words like I didn't, it will take you to your product and you can buy it. And I get a commission for sending traffic to Amazon. That's what that does. Next, we have mycomicshop.com. Mycomicshop.com is, you might have to sit down for this, a comic shop. I think they're based out of Texas or something like that. But it's a very good service. They got fucking everything there, guys. Like, everything. They got new, used, gray market. Might be able to suck some dick for some comics. I mean, I'm not even desperate to do that, but they can probably facilitate you. I'm just kidding, guys. Please don't shut down my affiliate account. It's just a joke. But yeah, it's a very good service, guys. I've been buying comics from mycomicshop.com for a while. That's where I got my Godzilla in Hell series. That's where I got my Spawn comics. That's where I got my fucking Wildcats comics. You know, all of this good old shit that just ain't in print no more. Or that is in print, but I would prefer to get used. They got Image, they got Valiant, they got Dynamite, they got fucking, they got Marvel and DC, if you want that, if you're that much of a fucking cuck. I would recommend that you go used on those, just personally, just go used. That way Marvel doesn't get any of your fucking money, or DC doesn't get any of your fucking money. Buy them used. That's what I'm saying. It's a very good service. Your comics arrive in a timely fashion, and they are very well protected. I've never, ever, ever, in like 3 years of using this service, had a comic show up at my door and have damage. You know, that wasn't already inherent in the thing. Like, you know, they do have a what do you fucking call it? Let me actually go through the thing, because this is the easiest way to get there. We'll just do the fucking alien thing. No, we want Comics. Okay. Here we go. So I'm looking at the, they have gradations of quality is the phrase that I was looking for. So they have like near mint, very fine, fine, you know, and it goes down from there. So I've never had anything that I've bought, at near mint or very fine or fine show up at my door looking any kind of fucked up. It's like collector's item and it's wrapped like a fucking collector's item. So it's very, very good service. Highly fucking recommended to you guys. That's where I get all my comics from. I mean, like when I'm on Twitter and I see fucking, you know, Alterna Comics, those guys, I see those guys talking about, you know, oh, we got this new comic out. I'm just like, all right, well, let's go over to mycomicshop.com, look this shit up. That's where I go get my comics from, guys. That's where I fucking do it. I don't go to the comic stores around here anymore. Mostly because they're too fucking expensive and I can't afford the gas to drive like 45 minutes away to go look up comics and shit like that. I don't have the money for the comics and I don't have the money for the gas. But I got the money for the comics at like $3 for the comic or $1.50 for the comic. And then like, I don't know, it's like $5 for their basic shipping. So, you know, buy a good amount when you go through there. It's not one of those things where you want to buy one comic for $1.50 and then pay like $6 shipping, you know. But the shipping is well worth the price because your shit will arrive and it will arrive safe. You don't have to pay anything extra either, you know. Their basic shipping plan is what I always use, and it's very, very good. Very professional. Can't recommend this service enough. Especially if you want comics. Why the fuck else would you be going there if you don't want comics? We're all fucking nerds here. We all get it. I need to stop drinking. He says as he takes another sip of bottom shelf whiskey directly out of the fucking bottle. Anyway, next up, we have... I should mention about the mycomicshop.com thing. If you go to my blog and you scroll down on the left side, right underneath Project Wonderful, which, by the way, I should probably add that onto the sponsor roll. If you want to go through Project Wonderful and you want your shit in an ad on my blog, you can go through Project Wonderful and essentially bid on it. You can do that. It's not really lucrative for me at this point, but, you know, you can. It's like you pay a certain amount per day, I think, is how that fucking works. We got a couple of people who've done bids. I should go check my Project Wonderful thing out. I haven't logged into this in like a week and a half, 2 weeks. Oh, great. I have 5 cents. I've made 5 cents off Project Wonderful. That's fucking awesome. That's going to be fun to tell to my fucking tax assessor next year. But yeah, if you want to go through Project Wonderful, you can. If you want to, directly advertise on the blog, I've been thinking like $20 a month. That sounds fair. You know, it's not a lot. And if you don't make your $20 back, then you don't have to continue if you don't want to. Let me check my stats. My page views last month, I got like 7,129 page views. 200 yesterday. It's not a lot, which is why I'm not charging out the wazoo for this, but I think $20 a month is pretty good, especially once we finally get settled in this new house. I'll be able to actually get down to work and start posting regularly, which I fully fucking intend to do. It's just work. Everything, it's just, shit keeps coming up. Shit keeps fucking coming up. But I think $20 a month is pretty fair. So if you want to have an ad on the blog, I'll make you a link to your website or your whatever. I'll show you in the podcast in the ad roll like I'm doing right now. That'll be fine with me. Next. Oh yeah, I was going to tell you guys about the mycomicshop.com thing. You have to click the text. You can't click the GIF. All of this other stuff, you can click Chiralt, a fantasy comic Kickstarter. Let's check this out. Chiralt Volume 3. Oh, they already made their goal. Congrats. Good for them. The art looks pretty cool. I like the art. Oh, they're doing... Oh, those are prints, not trading cards. My bad. But it looks like they've got monster girls in this, so they're way ahead of the fucking game. Very, very good on them. Anyway. Yeah, I couldn't find a way to put the link to the website that they gave me in the GIF. So where you could just click on the GIF and it would take you to the website. Couldn't figure out how to do that. So I just had to paste the HTML code and then the GIF underneath it. So you have to click on the letters there. So it'll say new and used comics and then buy comics at mycomicshop.com. You got to click on buy comics at mycomicshop.com. That's where you want to go if you need any kind of comic books. And like say, I would highly recommend looking up like Valiant or Alterna, Kung Fu Comics, Image, Dark Horse, companies like that. Companies that actually give a fuck about the, especially Alterna Comics. I've been following the head editor or whatever it is, the head guy, the creator, the owner of the company at Alterna Comics for a while on Twitter. And that guy really fucking cares about his fan base and, you know, his customers. Like, his comics are like $1.50. Like, he's got this whole, like, bringing back newsprint thing, which I'm full in favor of. You know, he's got people like tweeting at him, like, you know, it's nice to have a comic for kids out there that they can afford on their allowance. You know, it's getting back to that like 90s thing. Like, I remember back in the 90s, my parents would give me an allowance. There used to be a Walden Books, in my town. Very small store. It went under after a couple of years. It was very sad. I missed the hell out of it. I love Walden Books. Walden Books was my favorite, bookstore. But, yeah, they would have, a Walden Books, and I would go in and buy comics, and they would be like $1.50, $2, something like that. And my parents would like give me an allowance or whatever, or I would make money off of, you know, mowing the lawn and shit like that. And I would go in and I would buy like Spider-Man comics and shit like that. It was very cool to be able to go in and to a comic shop and do that kind of shit. And these guys actually are in comic shops. Alterna Comics are in comic shops, and they've got this whole like bringing back newsprint thing that they're doing. And they really do fucking care about their customers, and they're trying to run this as close to like the late 80s, mid 90s model as possible. So I highly recommend Alterna Comics. I haven't read any of their stuff yet because I don't have the money for comics right now. Give me like a month and I'll buy a couple and we'll see where it's at. But from what I can tell from Twitter and like seeing art stills and various pages and shit like that, it looks like high quality stuff. And I would recommend it. And like not only that, but they actually give a fuck about you, the consumer, the customer. So I would recommend going to that comic company or Dynamite or someone like that instead of the big two. I'm already starting to feel this liquor. Next up, we have WriteStuffAnime.com. Now, once again, this is another service that I've used for a couple of years. Very happy with it. Never had a fucking problem. Might have one upcoming because of problems with my fucking credit card, but, well, it's not a credit card, it's a debit card, but anyway. Those problems won't be the fault of my Write Stuff Anime. They'll be my fault. So, very, very happy with the service. Like I say, everything, arrives very neatly packaged. It always arrives timely. Well, not always. There might be a couple of hiccups here and there. Like, I recently, before I quit my job, I ordered the, Konosuba light novels, number 1 and 2, which aren't all that great. Like, I don't really know if that was worth $25, but I'm not exactly not enjoying them. So, I'm not even through the first one yet. So we'll see if that's money well spent. But yeah, this is the place to go if you need any kind of shit connected to anime or manga. They got Nendoroid figurines. They got music, CDs. They got audio dramas. They got DVDs, shit that's out of print, shit that's, you know, new, all of this stuff. It's a really fucking good service. They've got a huge selection, and I've never had a problem with it. Occasionally, something will take slightly longer to get here than I would like, but that's not exactly their fault. you know, sometimes something's out of print and I'll order it and they'll be like, all right, you're going to have to wait like a month until we get our stock back up. And then they get the stock back up and then they ship it off and it's here in like a week. Write Stuff Anime is a very good service. Like I say, I've been using it for a couple of years, never really had any complaints with it, apart from the ones mentioned, but those aren't serious complaints. Those are just, you know, little gripes that I have, which aren't even all that bad. But yeah, if you need anything connected to anime, manga, light novels, fucking Nendoroid figurines, Gundam figurines, if you want to get you, a statue of a snake woman with huge titties, they probably got that. It's a good company, guys. It's a good company. That's why I support it. That's why I looked into getting an affiliate account with them. So I will almost swear by their service. Highly recommended. Good shit. That's where I go to get all my manga. That's where I go to get all my fucking, anime. That's where I go to get all that shit. And I would appreciate it if you guys would go click on my blog and, click on that link. And that once again just lets them know that I sent you and they will give me a cut of the profits at no extra cost to you or the seller just for sending traffic to their website. If you need anime, go to rightstuffanime.com. I'm the fucking worst marketer of all time. Of all time. Next we have the Bandcamp. The Bandcamp isn't really anything special. I just figure I might as well keep shilling it. Basically it's a couple of collections of stories that I did, on my YouTube channel or unreleased stuff. I have my, Halloween 2014 countdown up on there. So if you want all of that nice, neatly curated for you, it's like $5. I did have to go in and split up a couple of stories because they only let you upload a certain size file. But I did have to split up a couple of stories that were longer. But most of the shit is just right there. With the holders, the Seekers for a Cure tapes. That was it. Those are holder stories that I did for a cancer charity that never got off the ground. And it wasn't anything like, oh, we ran off with the money or some shit like that. It was like, we all were really dedicated to this. This was right after the Slender Man stabbing happened. And we all decided to get together and show that the creepypasta community can do good after, like, Narrators United happened. And we wanted to raise a lot of money for cancer, so we figured we'd do the entire holders stories. All of the basic holders. It's, you know, there are 500 and some odd fucking, goddamn, I'm gonna have to look this up because it's bothering me now. It's fucking bothering me now. The Holders series, here we go. Okay, yeah, 538 stories. There were 538 stories in the series, and they're not long, but, you know, we all got together and we recorded a certain number of them. There was a huge amount of narrators involved in this. Like, I had, like, I don't even fucking know how many stories I managed to pull off for this. So let's just go to my Bandcamp and we'll, yeah, it's, Seekers for a Cure Tapes, The Holders, Volume 1. I recorded 15 stories for this cancer charity that never took off, and I had put music on them and everything like that. I had devoted quite a bit of time into this, and it just fell through due to mismanagement. Like, we didn't even accept any money. The, event never even took off. It didn't even happen. So I was just, like, left holding the bag of all of these stories, and I figured, fuck it, I might as well put them up on my Bandcamp. I put a couple up on my YouTube, but those are largely unreleased, so you can't really get those anywhere else. So if you're into that kind of thing, fucking go for it. I will warn you that, it's pretty low quality. It was back when I didn't really understand a whole lot about equalization or compression or any of that bullshit. So it's not the kind of quality that I'm able to deliver now, but they're there if you want them. And that's all I'll say about that. You can go peruse that at your own leisure and decide whether or not you're willing to pay me $5 for shit audio. Next, we have audio commissions. If you want me to read your thing, be it a novel, a novelette, a short story, some random bullshit that you found on 4chan, I will read it. You just have to pay me. It is not a free service. Payment will be decided underneath a certain word count. I've been meaning to get around to working out a minimum rate, because, like, the maximum rate is, like, I frequently have to drop that down because I understand that people just can't fucking pay that much money out, like, at one time or even in, like, split up installments or whatever. So I totally understand, but I need to set up a minimum rate so that I'm not fucking basically doing this for free. But if you want me to read your shit, then I will do it. It will just have to involve money at some point. I will work for royalties via ACX, okay? Just going ahead and saying that now, I am willing to work for royalties. But there has to be some kind of monetary compensation coming my way at some point. So if you want me to read the thing, I will read the thing. The wait line is a little bit long right now. I will say that. I have to do Queen's Heir, Sudden Rescue by John Mollison. I'm working on Kirsova number 5. That's been finalized. I'm doing that. Thank you, Alexander, by the way. I love you, brother. I still have to edit At the Mountains of Madness. Like I say, I've been moving this week. I still have to finish recording The Scarlet Citadel and edit that. Justin Knight is coming with his book. He's going to get it back from Brian Niemeyer here shortly. And then I'm going to be doing that one, which Brian also does editing jobs, by the way, if anybody's interested. And Aaron Clary is coming out with, I want to say it was Poor Richard's Retirement? Let me go to my email right quick. Because he recently sent me the name of the book. Yeah, it's Poor Richard's Retirement. And it's kind of a retirement plan for people in the now. So I'm going to be doing the audiobook for that. That it's like 20,000 words, not even. So it's not going to take all that long to do. And John's book is of comparable length. So I should be kicking out a lot of projects here soon. Which means that this sponsor role is going to be getting even fucking longer. Which could be a fucking disaster given how much I run my goddamn mouth. But yeah, there is a little bit of a line. But if your thing is shorter and you're willing to pay up front, then I will prioritize you over royalty work. You know, I'm sorry, guys, but right now I've got property of mine, like books and video games and it's like personal property and shit, especially books, sitting in my cousin's house right now. And apparently I pissed him off enough to the point where he went down to the clerk of court and was about to write me a very, very fucking angry letter about how I have like 30 days to get him a certain amount of money or else he's able to do whatever the fuck he wants with my property. But I went and saw him, I want to say last night, maybe the night before. I think it was last night. And I talked to him about it, and it's fine. I just have to pay him a certain amount of money, and then I can get my shit back. But that kind of takes priority. So I hate to tell Mr. Boyle this, because I know he listens to the podcast. But if Aaron comes back, because the guy, like, this is how much I love Aaron Clary, and this is how generous this guy is. Like, he came to me and he was like, "Hey, I want you to do this book. Give me a quote." And I did the math. It was like 19,000 words and some change. And it came out to about like $312. And I was like, well, okay, this guy like plugs me in his podcast. He, this is repeat work. You know, he's the captain. He gets me work. He plugs me on his podcast. He's trying to jumpstart my fucking audiobook career here. He deserves a serious discount because he's doing all of these favors for me. So I was like, all right, I'll do it for $250. It's $250. Fine. I'm comfortable taking that fucking hit. And he came back to me and he was like, "You're selling yourself short. How about $400? And my heart stopped. It's just like the generosity of this guy, you know? I unconditionally love this man. Got a bit of a bro crush on Aaron Clary. Aaron also uses PayPal, which means I can have that $400 in my pocket really fucking quickly, which means I can get my stuff out of storage way quicker. Mr. Boyle uses mailed checks. So if Aaron gets back to me, I'm going to take like 2 or 3 days and I'm going to just do his fucking book and get that $400 so that I can get my shit out of my cousin's house. Because that's just, it's been sitting there for way too long. I didn't realize it had been that long. I was really fucking unprofessional and cowardly about that. But I went and talked to him. I went and made up with him. You know, that's how you fucking do things, kids. You go and you meet people in person and you fucking talk to them about shit. And I also offered to do yard work and shit like that for him. So I'm going to be cleaning out his gutters and fixing his gutters. Because they, like, fell off part of the house. And now the rain is just, like, it's already eaten through a fucking concrete block that he had, like, sitting at the bottom of his steps and shit like that. And that's just bad. Like, I just want to fix that just so it'll be fucking fixed. Just so that's not happening. Apparently there was, like, a 3-foot hole there or some shit. But yeah, if Aaron comes back to me with his shit from the editor within the next week or so, I'm just going to go ahead and knock that out so that I can get that fucking $400 and get my shit. So no offense to John or Alexander or especially Mr. Boyle, but I need that money now. I need that money right now. So if Aaron comes back, he gets fucking priority because I can get that money faster. And I really fucking need it right now. It's not about, like, wanting to prioritize him over anybody else. It's just, like, I need to get my shit out of his house. I really need to get my shit out of this guy's house. I've taken advantage of him, and I need to make up for that. And I really need to, like, I'm kind of in this weird place where I'm cleaning up my life, and I'm... you know, trying to take a more adult tack on things and actually dealing with problems instead of just fucking ignoring them and hoping that they'll go away. And this is part of how you fucking do it. You go and you make amends with people and you promise them labor and you promise them money to make up for it. And it's just one of those fucking things. Like, I gotta do what I gotta do. And that doesn't mean that the other stuff won't get done. It just means that it might have to take a back seat so that I can use the money that Aaron's going to pay me to take care of real life shit. So I should probably shut the fuck up at this point. I've been, I haven't actually drank as much as I thought I have, but it is affecting me. Maybe I've got an empty stomach. I don't know. But anyway, yeah. So if you've got something shorter, that you want me to read, I can probably knock out in a couple of days, and you're willing to pay a flat rate, I will go ahead and knock it the fuck out. If you want me to do voice acting, I also do voice acting. I'm not really giving good examples of that on the podcast, because on the podcast I'm drinking and smoking and shit like that. But I have a fairly wide range of voices that I'm able to do. So if you want me to voice act in your thing, get in touch. We can discuss it. No promises of payment have to be made for an audition. I'm perfectly willing to talk to you about your thing, and we can see if I'm right. And if I'm right, then we can discuss payment. But if I'm not, fine. You know, no hard feelings. You come back to me later. I'm still going to be here. Still going to be doing this. So that's where that fucking ends up. All right. Well, that's about the fucking podcast, guys. I'm sorry to chew your fucking ear off with the sponsors and shit. For another goddamn hour. Jesus. I need to work on my bloviating. I really, really need to work on my bloviating. And my drunken rambling. I guess the podcast is just gonna be 2 fucking hours from now on, because it takes me a fucking hour to get through the goddamn, sponsors. I'm such a fucking failure. Anyway. Thank you guys for listening. If you've listened this long, you deserve some kind of a fucking medal, fam. But thank you all very much for listening. I really do appreciate it. like I say, if you wanna support me, then those are the ways that you do it. And I will catch you all next week, where hopefully we will be more coherent and focused. But I doubt it. I very seriously doubt it. So y'all have a good weekend. Have a good week. Hope that you all are doing well. Like I say, you can follow me on Twitter, Tumblr, Minds, VidMe, YouTube, Gab. I'm also on Reddit. Why you would want to use Reddit is a fucking mystery to me, but I'm over there. I have an account. I don't really do anything with it, but I'm there. And that's about it. All right, I'm going to go ahead and cut this before I get into a fucking another tangent and chew you guys' ear off for another goddamn hour. All right, I'll catch y'all later. Peace out.